south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, here's something I don't think we ever talked about in, what, 780 shows now? The subject comes up once in a while, and it came up again just a couple days ago when a guy living down here in Latin America, a new expat, asked me this question. He said, Johnny, what's the best way to establish credit here in Latin America? He says, I've got a bank and I actually want to try to borrow some money because I see people doing it. But since I'm a new guy down here, I've only been down a year or so, I've got no credit history at all. So of course, a bank is not likely to give me credit. And I'd like to walk into my bank someday and say, hey, I want to borrow the max. So you have some insight on that, Johnny? What can you tell me about establishing credit? And you know, would it be better to get a personal loan or a credit card? What do you think? All right, he states the question clearly, and I'm sure when most gringos and expats come down to Latin America, they don't have enough cash, let's say, to buy a house or a condo. They may have some to put down, maybe plenty to put down, but who's got 100 or 200 grand or 300 grand, whatever? And of course, you've heard me say a million times that there's a huge real estate bubble in most of Latin America, which is a big advantage for us gringos. And you could tell people are getting desperate because these days you see signs all over the place saying no money down. So it's these desperate project developers that'll give you no money down loans, not banks. Banks are still very conservative down here, and that's a good thing. In fact, most Latin American banks never did get involved in those terribly leveraged derivative markets. And that's what's keeping a lot of banks afloat up in the States and what's going to be their downfall in the end, you know. Just know that most, if not all, banks in Latin America, ones that don't have U.S. branches, that is, never ever got involved in the derivatives game. Of course, if you're here in Latin America, you'll see some of the usual suspect banks, the big dogs who have always been part of the problem, like Citibank, Scotiabank, Bank of America, and a few British banks, too. You longtime listeners know it's not a good idea to bank at any Latin bank that's got a branch up in the States, because that means if you have a problem up in the States, let's say bankruptcy, divorce, alimony payments you haven't been keeping up with, or if you have IRS or tax problems, you do know with a judgment or just with a phone call sometimes, if your Latin bank has a branch or two up in the States, they can lock your account down. But they can't do it to a bank that doesn't have a branch up in the States. That's not to say they won't try. That is, if they really wanted to get you because you were a big fish, then they'll send down lawyers and accountants, bilingual ones, of course, they'll have to, set up court dates in a Latin country where they want to lock up your account, have a hearing, and of course it'll all be in Spanish, and then a Latin judge will have to order the assets be frozen, but that ain't easy. If you think the so-called system of justice up in the States slogs along at a turtle's pace, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till you come down here to Latin America, it's 10 times worse. The fact is, if you try to sue someone down here, you might never get in front of a judge. And if you do, it'll take 6 months, sometimes a year. In fact, here's a great example. The previous president of Guatemala, who's in jail now for stealing countless millions, name is Otto Perez. He's been sitting in his own version of Club Fed down here for a couple of years now. And get this, not only has his case not been resolved in court yet, he hasn't even been in court yet. In fact, I read just recently that his lawyers were able to get 70, that's 70, postponements of the trial. Really, you gotta wonder, how's that possible? I'll repeat that, 70 frickin' postponements of the trial. Well, this is Latin America. Like Expat Eddie says, the wheels of justice fell off the wagon a long time ago, and the ones that remain have pinchazos, flat tires. But where were we? Oh yeah, talking about creating a credit history here in Latin America. Because you will need that if you're interested in getting a bank loan. So when you first get down, when you open up a bank account, normally you'll get a debit card. And because it is a debit card and not a credit card, it doesn't help you build up your credit in the eyes of the bank. By the way, when you talk about credit scores, they haven't gotten that far here in Latin America yet. Although a few credit agencies have popped up set up by the local banks, there are no independent credit agencies that you can petition to find out what your credit scores are. Lots of lag time there. Anyway, as you might imagine, the easiest way to start building up some credit in a bank is to get a credit card and start using it and paying it off on time. But how does that happen? How do you convert from debit cards to credit cards? Well, you have to have a bank account and a debit card for at least 3 years down here before a bank will say, okay, we'll give you a credit card and they'll start you out on trading wheels, normally with a $500 limit on that card. And then you'll have to use that card for a couple of years and pay it off regularly and on time, and then little by little they'll give you a higher limit. Maybe after a year or so, kick you up to $1,000 or $1,500. Of course, that'll depend on the bank and your resources and such. Though if you came down to Latin America and had the resources to buy a condo, you could always take a loan against it. That's easy. But we're talking about building up credit from scratch if you don't have any assets down here. So then you might ask, what about that spectacular gringo advantage Johnny's always talking about? Well, of course, the farther off the gringo tourist trail you are, the more intense that factor is. For example, it is in high gear if you want to rent a place or even if you want to buy into one of those gated guarded communities where the project is offering internal financing. We're not talking about bank financing here. We're talking about the builder or the project developer that'll provide the financing. And in that case, I've seen it for myself, a gringo can come in with his bank statements from up in the States and his credit card history from up in the States. And often that'll really grease the skids, even if you've got no credit history down here or no real history of anything at all. Of course, you'll have to have those documents all translated into Spanish, but I've seen it in action. In fact, there are lots of big gated guarded communities that are selling vacant lots on time. That's with payments that span usually around 5 years. For example, you put 20% down and you get on the payment plan. Well, as you might imagine, a developer is glad to do that because if you default on the payment, they get the land back plus they got your deposit, right? And whatever payments you made. So that's a hell of a good way to get your credit started. You buy a lot, put the minimum amount down, could be 5, 10, 20%, and start paying those payments on time. And within a year, you'll have a positive credit history. Then you can go to your bank and show them that paperwork. Though remember, I just mentioned that a lot of these gated guarded communities, because of the real estate bubble, will let you buy a lot with no money down. Typical sign of the peak of a bubble. Well, unfortunately, a green gringo coming in is not going to be able to pick up a lot for no money down. You'll have to put something down or they won't let you get in the game because you're coming in with absolutely no credit history at all. But that's one way to establish credit.
Ah, but there are some other ways, backdoor ways to establish credit here, aside from getting a friend or a lawyer to co-sign for you. And you're not going to get them to do that unless they really know and trust you. Because, you know, anytime a friend or relative co-signs a loan for you, there's a chance you'll destroy that relationship permanently. Or if you can get your lawyer to do it, you'll certainly have to be a very good client of his. On the other hand, he'll be what they call a fiador for you. He'll do that for all his clients, but that's not a co-signer. A fiador is a personal slash professional reference. For example, if you're going to rent an apartment, if you're actually signing some kind of contract with the landlord, they'll always ask for a fiador. That'll be just a local, respected, professional guy that vouches for your character. And you know lawyers, if you're one of their clients, they'll vouch for your character, even if their character sucks. Isn't it funny? As long as you're up to date on your payments to your lawyer, he'll vouch for your character. Try not paying him for a while and see what happens. But I digress as usual. Where were we? Oh, yeah. Though, as mentioned, there are some quick and dirty ways to get a positive credit history going in a hurry. And here's how I'd do it. You go into one of these medium or low-end Latin department stores in whatever Latin city or town you want to settle in. Many of these big department stores are large chains. And all of them, and I mean all of them, found out a few years back there was a gold mine and putting people on the payment plan. For no matter what you buy, I'm telling you, you could buy a chair for $20 and they'll put you on a year payment plan. That'd be like $2 a month. That's no exaggeration. You could get on a payment plan for a $20 item. Now, you have to know that anyone getting on a payment plan for a $20 item does not need much of a credit history at all to get approved for such a loan. In fact, I know of one gringo who went into one of those places and bought a bed. I think it was $200. He put $50 down, filled out the paperwork. It's all in Spanish, of course, so he had someone with him. And guess who was his fiador, his local professional reference? His lawyer, of course. But even then, the guy had to have a co-signer. And guess who became his co-signer? His lawyer, again. Let me ask you this. What lawyer wouldn't be a co-signer for a $150 loan? The fact is, your Latin lawyer would be glad to be a co-signer on a tiny amount like that, especially when you explain to him why you're doing it. In fact, if he was in any way hesitant, even at that, you could give him $150 and say, hold this for me till I pay off the loan. Collateral, you know. Of course, that's not going to happen because you're a gringo client and lawyers bend over backwards for their first world gringos. But then again, there'll be a limit to what he's willing to co-sign for. For example, if you're going to buy a car that's worth $20,000 and you put $5,000 down, I doubt if he's going to be a co-signer on a $15,000 loan. But you don't have to do that. You can start really small with a bed or a chair, a flat screen TV. So here's the plan. You take the chair, bed, or TV home. You start paying those payments. Pay maybe 3 or 4 months of it on time and then walk into the place and pay off the rest of it. I mean, come on. Who wants to go down to the department store every month and pay $2 down on their loan? Talk about feeling stupid. Because, you know, there'll be a line there. That's a guarantee. Lines are part of life here in Latin America. That means when you pay your $2, the people alongside of you, front and back of you, are going to look and see you're a broke-ass gringo. Yep, that's how you'll be judged when standing in that line, but who cares because they're all broke-ass too. But if you're thick-skinned and don't care, why not? All right, so you pay at least a couple payments, then you pay the whole thing off. Now you're developing a credit history. And my advice is to go to 3 or 4 different department stores. There are a ton of them down here, and do exactly the same thing. Buy a little something you need around the house, a blender, a coffee maker. By the way, paying on time down here is called pagos, P-A-G-O-S. So when you see the word pagos posted anywhere in the paper, at department stores and such, that means if you're so inclined, you can put everything on the payment plan. So anyway, now you're paying up 4 or 5 tiny little items, and after a couple of months, you've built up a positive credit file. Then, of course, you can move on up to buying bigger and bigger items on time. And it's even better if you do that at one of the department stores you've already established a payment plan with on some other stuff. You get the picture. You start small like all the locals do. How do you think a guy with a tin roof and a dirt floor ends up with a microwave, refrigerator, and a big screen TV? On payments, of course. Pagos. So then if he's got nothing, why do they trust him on the payment plan? Well, that's because some other guy in the family was a co-signer for him on 1 or 2 very small items, like a coffee maker, for instance. And once he paid off at $2 a month, he was in. Of course, if you're really in a rush to establish some kind of credit history, just talk to your lawyer. Tell him what's on your mind. And these Latin lawyers, man, they have some very creative solutions. By the way, it won't hurt to repeat this, for I think it's the 100th time now. You'll find many times what's completely legal here in Latin America is illegal for you to do up in the States. So keep that in mind. For example, insider trading is completely legal here in Latin America. In fact, they don't even have a word for it. It's no big deal. No one's ever called it into question. Of course, prostitution and gambling are legal too, as well as giving gifts, even gigantic bundles of cash, to malignant lardbags running for office. Why do you think some of these candidates who run for higher office have helicopters, 3 or 4 beach houses, yachts? And don't forget, they've got estates in the very finest gated, guided communities where everybody else actually have real jobs. Well, that's because a lot of that stuff came as a freebie, a gift, usually from big corporations like Merck, Monsanto, Bayer. Yep, all that's completely legal here in Latin America. Of course, the thing is, if you hand over a suitcase full of cash to a guy running for president, let's say, and he uses it as campaign financing, he has to report the amount and the person who gave it to him. But it's not illegal. So let's put it this way. There are dozens of things here in Latin America that are completely legal that earn you a yellow jumpsuit up in the States. All right, let's shift gears for a bit and talk about this very cool little article someone just sent me. And as usual, I'll be paraphrasing and commenting as we go along. It's called Things That U.S. People Do and Consider Normal That People from Other Countries, specifically Latin America, think are a bit nutty. Number one, the U.S. is one of the only countries in the world that uses fiat funny money that's the same size and the same color. Of course, it's all about tradition and dead presidents, right? But why do you think other countries have different size money and different colors? Well, that's so you could distinguish the denominations in the dark, even if you're blind. Which begs the question, why hasn't the ACLU started a class action lawsuit in behalf of blind folks in America? I guess they're just too busy with all that social justice poop. Number two, Americans want ice in everything they drink, including tea. Number three, using the word American in America to describe themselves when there are 20 different Latin American countries that are part of America too. Number three, when writing or talking about the day and the month and the year, they're one of the only countries in the world that puts the month before the day. By the way, when you're living here in Latin America, you got to look out for that, because when you fill out forms or do any kind of correspondence, Always remember down here, it's the day, the month, then the year. Not the month, the day, and the year. Number five, Latin Americans who aren't watching U.S. cable TV now, and they all do, are absolutely amazed that at least 50% of the commercials they see on TV are about prescription drugs and diseases they've never even heard of. Number six, when Latinos visit the United States, they can't believe when they walk into a drugstore that there's only a tiny little section of that drugstore, probably 10% or less, that's really the pharmacy. In the rest of the store, they're selling tire pumps, car batteries, pens, notebooks, lights, everything but pharmaceuticals and drugs. Number six, Latins also find it very strange when they visit the States that the U.S. does not use the metric system. They use the British imperial system. So when gringos first come down, it confuses the hell out of them. As soon as they hit the supermarket and find out everything's in grams and kilograms, they have to hark back to those old college pot-smoking days. Number seven, Latins are amazed at the gigantic supersized meals the restaurants and fast food joints serve up in the States. Number eight, when Latinos go to the States, they're amazed how much water people use and how much they waste. Watering their lawns, taking 20-minute showers, and just letting the faucet water run a couple of minutes till the hot water finally kicks in. Oh, and remember, 99.9% of Latinos, it doesn't matter how wealthy or poor they are, do not have hot water hookups at their sinks. It's just not common down here. And secondarily, that means when you're doing your laundry here in Latin America, you'll find that 99% of washing machines do not have hot water hookups either. So if you're delicate about the temperature of the water in your washing machine, it ain't happening down here. You're getting it right out of the pipe at room temperature. One size fits all. Which brings us to that disgusting topic of where you put your toilet paper. You know, when Latins go to America, they're shocked but pleasantly surprised they can actually put their toilet paper in the toilet. Though at first they're trepidatious about it, believe me. Which is why, by the way, if you go to a connecting airport hub where a lot of planes are coming in direct from Latin America like Houston or Miami, unfortunately, if you have to use an airport restroom, you'll see evidence of those disgusting habits yourself. Again, that's Latin Americans bringing their bad habits along with them. I know, some of you are thinking, oh, Johnny, you're being classist, even racist. Wait a minute, so you're telling me it's not a bad habit? Or it is, but we should accept or overlook it because it's a cultural thing? All right, then riddle me this. What if you had a business in the States or invited some Latino friends over to your house and they proceeded to stuff disgusting wads of TP in your garbage cans? I'm sure you'd let it slide, right? Because it's a cultural thing. Well, I beg to differ. No, it's not cultural. It's just a sickeningly disgusting habit. By the way, who's going to do the cleanup when it's at your house? Number 10. Another thing Latinos find weird is that gringos walk around all day long with gigantic coffee cups in their hands. Though I gotta say that's kind of a recent thing since Starbucks, right? Oh, and here's one I see all the time. Latins don't get the doggy bag thing. Almost none of them ever take extra food home unless it's a carryout. Since supersized portions aren't common here in Latin America yet, people tend to finish off everything on their plate, at least for now. In fact, you know you're off the gringo tourist trail when you ask for a doggy bag and the waiter doesn't know what the hell you're talking about, even if you translate it into Spanish. Not to mention, I think none of them would ever give restaurant food to their dog. However, when you're on the tourist trail, you hit Costa Rica, Cancun, Panama, any place where the waiters and most people speak some English, they know what a doggy bag is because we've got them trained. Another thing that surprises Latinos is that we have sales tax tacked onto everything we buy, except in those four or five states that have none. Now, it's not that Latinos don't pay a sales tax. They call it IVA or VAT tax in Europe. But it's almost always added into the price, so you really don't know that it's there. But it is. And you know, there is a positive psychological effect to knowing that you're not going to be slapped with some additional fee on top of what the stated price is. Which is why I always get pissed off when I'm on the gringo tourist trail. Yeah, I'm there sometimes. Not much, but sometimes. And you buy something for, let's say, $10, and you discover when you get your bill, they added a 22% tourist tax, a 12% local tax, and a 10% tip. I'll tell you, that's one thing that really irks me and lots of gringos I've spoken to. Wouldn't you much rather see an item on the menu for $15 and pay $15, that's it, rather than seeing it's $10 on the menu and getting hit for $15 after the waiter delivers the check? Makes for a kind of sour feeling when you're paying the bill, doesn't it? And speaking of tips, that's another thing. You know, in Latin America, Latinos just don't tip. It's not a culture of tipping. So the tip is almost always added to the bill. If not, the waiters and service people would starve. Now, for sure, if you've had crap service, you don't really have to pay the extra 10 or 12%, whatever they add, depending on the country. But normally, gringos, expats, and tourists don't want to put up a stink. No one wants to be the center of attention in a restaurant when you're arguing it out with a waiter. In fact, anytime you do get bad service and you say, hell, I'm not going to pay the tip, you'll find out nearly 100% of the time if you go about explaining it to them nicely, they'll give you a free something or other, free dessert, espresso, cafe, mocha to Java, whatever. I've seen that happen a number of times. You'll find here in Latin America, it doesn't pay to get what expat Eddie calls gringo pissed. You know, when you have bad service, whatever, and someone, a gringo, at your table becomes irate and starts raising his voice. That's a gringo thing, because you see here in Latin America, been down here 27 plus years now, I don't think I've ever heard a Latin guy raise his voice in a restaurant, unless they're singing happy birthday or some idiot soccer team's just made a goal. You see, culturally, getting pissed off, yelling, and raising the voice is just not a Latin thing, not in public anyway. Sure, it's true in Latin homes there are plenty of knockdown, drag-out fights. I mean, look, spousal abuse is endemic here. In fact, some people say it's kind of an indoor national sport, but that's a topic for another show. Oh, and one more thing about tipping. When you're on the Gringo Tourist Trail, you'll find we Gringo tourists have conditioned Latin so much that they expect tips, often big ones, and that's how we've ruined countries like Costa Rica. I mean, look, suppose for the first time you've landed in a tropical country. You're at your hotel. The porter picks up your bags and brings them up to your room. You give them $5, a totally common thing to do in the States, maybe even 10. Well, the fact is, in most Latin countries, you just gave the guy a half a day's wages. So you can see how easy it is to spoil a whole population by over-tipping when you don't even think you're over-tipping. Expat Eddie likes to say if you give a Latin porter $5 every time he carries your bags up to the room, try this. If you want to see if his smile and demeanor are genuine, next time you come in, tip him $2, which is twice what you should be tipping anyway. Then just check his reaction and how he treats you after that. All right, then we've got odd gringo custom. I think it's number 12. Latinos are amazed when they find out that gringos take out loans and go deep into debt to send their kids to college. They don't get it because there are no student loans in Latin America. And Latin parents could never get a bank loan because for banks, it's not a good enough reason for a loan. Yep, down here, it's still like the 1940s, 50s, and 60s up in the States. Unless your parents have dough, which is a very, very small percentage of people here in Latin America, I'd say 95% of all college kids here need to work a day or night job to go to college. So naturally, Latinos are shocked when they hear American parents are in the hole to the tune of 40 or 50 grand for their kids' useless journalism, poli sci, or art history degrees. Oh, and another thing. Just like up in the States, most Latins live near or in a big or medium-sized city. That's where the jobs are. So normally a Latino will work an 8-hour job plus 4 hours on Saturday till noon or 1. It is a 44-hour work week for most people in Latin America. And rush hour traffic is horrendous. So many Latinos will get up at 5 and come home at 8 or 9, even 10. Meaning 90%, maybe more, are living for the weekend. Believe me, when they let loose, they know how to party. But what they really find odd about us gringos is that we get so little vacation time off, that 1 or 2 weeks a year. And though a lot of Latins are on kind of a treadmill light with training wheels, the fact is Latinos have about 3 times as many holidays, that is free days off of work, than you do up in the States. So, though it seems as if they're living for the weekend, they make up for it with all those holidays and free days off. Remember, Latinos have both church and government-sanctioned holidays. So just a warning to you gringos and expat wannabes. If you're coming down to get your residency in a Latin country, or your schedule's tight and you got a time problem, you better call your lawyer way ahead of time before you ever buy your plane tickets to find out if your stay down there is going to land on one of those festivals, or feriados. That's feriado. Oh, but you're a smart gringo, right? And you'll look it up on the internet. Yeah, you'll find the feriados on the internet. But you're unlikely to find the bank holidays or the government holidays where just the government offices are closed and everything else is open. So how'd you like to find out when you come down to open your bank account that there's a 2-day bank holiday? That's pretty freaking normal. Just know that bank holidays and government office holidays aren't normally listed in the national holiday schedules you'll see on the internet. Hey, it's Latin America. What can I tell you? And worse yet, bank holidays in one Latin country do not coincide or overlap with bank holidays in other Latin countries. So except for the major holidays, lots of so-called partial holidays are independent of each other. With partial holidays, meaning some businesses or government offices are closed and others remain open. All right, number 13. Latinos are absolutely astounded when they find out that in the U.S., there's a welfare system that gives out free money, food, healthcare, and so many other benefits to people who aren't working. And if you have more kids, you get more of it. And another thing that amazes Latinos on their first trip up to the States is that every American house has air conditioning, even up in Canada, in Chicago. Because here in Latin America, just to have a room air conditioner is a big thing, but whole house air conditioning? Unheard of. Number 14. Latinos certainly find it odd that a lot of Americans do not let their dogs live in the house, which is why you'll find certain Latin houses, in fact, a lot of Latin houses, smell kind of gamey. Another thing that amazes Latinos is that we've got screens on our windows, and the fact that most Americans wash their cars every week. And many of them do it themselves, even when they've got super nice, expensive cars. That just baffles Latinos when a person's got the money to go to a car wash and they wash the car themselves. Another thing that amazes Latinos is that American men use dental floss. Of course, Latin women use it a lot, but it's unmacho to do if you're a Latin guy. The other thing that amazes Latinos is that we don't have tortillas or frijoles at every meal, or at least for breakfast. Worse yet, when we do have tortillas, they're the wheat kind, not the corn tortillas. Now, it's not that Latinos don't eat wheat tortillas. They've been kind of eased into it with franchises like Taco Bell. But you see, wheat does not grow well in Latin America. In the majority of Latin countries, it's just too hot. So wheat tortillas are a transplanted item, and surely a lot less healthy than the corn ones, though the corn ones are GMO, so I don't know which is worse. All right, how about this one? Latin Americans are truly amazed that the average gringo has any number of credit cards with a $20,000 maximum or more. Now, the fact is only around 10% of the Latin population have credit cards, and about 70% debit cards. But even if you have a credit card, those high limits are just unheard of. As mentioned earlier, banks start you out with a credit card limit of $500. Okay, last but not least, number 15. Latinos are truly amazed that in the States we have very few lines for them to stand in. For them, it's part of their culture, part of their comfort zone. Whereas when we see a line, it just pisses us off.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy.